The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
There are two people I really wanted to meet. I'm going to start with Sabrina Boyd. Good morning, Sabrina.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
How are you and where are you?
I'm in Greenmount in Cork City.
Oh, I was really keen to talk to you because you won a great award recently and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. What did you become?
So I became the National Carer of the Year for Ireland for a company called Right at Home. We're a home care company that look after the elderly and vulnerable in the community.
Well, congratulations on your win, but more importantly, congratulations on your work, because given the day that's in it, we need to be talking about people like you and people like the folks that you work with, your clients and your friends. Tell us a bit about yourself. I mean, you didn't always work in the caring business, if you want to call it that. What did you do before that?
So before that, I was working in retail. So I worked in retail most of my life when I finished school and went to college.
Yeah.
And then I had a family of my own, Ryan. I have three kids. I have two boys and a girl. And I suppose when you're in retail, you kind of get stuck in a rut because you have a family. And it just came to a point in my life where I said, look, if I don't go back to college now and do what I always wanted to do, I don't think I'll ever do it. So with the support of my partner and my family, I went back to college, and it's something that I don't regret. The only thing I regret is that I didn't do it sooner.
Well, tell me, when I hear retail, I presume that means shops and all the rest of it.
I worked in management level.
Yeah, in where?
So I worked for Heaton's, I worked for Super Value, and I worked for Dunn Stores.
All the greats.
All the greats.
And were the hours long, and was the work tough?
Yeah, the hours were very long, especially when you're at management level. You're expected to do a lot more than you would if you were just a normal employee. So there were some weeks there you could work 50, 60 hours a week.
Okay, that is a long
week.
And
especially if you had head office visits, you'd be expected to stay longer.
They'd
so
come in,
I suppose with a family, it wasn't suiting to be doing that many hours anyway, and to have my partner at home with the kids all the time, and I missed out on quite a lot with the kids working those long hours.
So you said, I'm going back to college. I want to change direction entirely. A lot of people wouldn't have the nerve to do that, but you did it. And you went back to study what?
So I went back to study a VTAC level 5 for healthcare. So I suppose there was a lot of talk about it, whether I would go back or not. But as I said, I have a very strong family support. So I did go back and I gave up retail. I gave up everything and I went back for the year and I studied to become a carer. And I'm absolutely delighted that I did.
This is a kind of an odd question, but in terms of take home pay from the shops that you worked in versus the caring situation, was there much of a difference between the two?
A big one. Yeah. So I'm not going to tell exactly how much.
No, I don't mean the exact details. I'd never ask you that.
It was more than half.
You took a pay cut of pretty much more than half.
Yeah.
And
because I suppose I took it, Ryan, because it was something that I wanted to do. My passion was there for it. And I absolutely, like, no 2 days in this job are the same.
So the vocation was more important to you than the paycheck?
It was. Like, I knew it was my calling, and I definitely knew that it was something that I wanted to do. Whereas when I was in retail, I was doing it for the paycheck.
Tell me what it involves, Sabrina. What do you do that brings you so much joy and satisfaction, if you like?
For me, it's allowing the elderly and the vulnerable to live independent lives, to allow them to stay at home, that they're not put into nursing homes. We're there to care for them. We're there to go in and assist them to do whatever they need, whether it's personal care, whether it's taking their mind off this current pandemic, whether it's listening to them. That's a big thing, listening to them. Let them talk. Let them say what they want to say. Like, for me personally, you build up. I have the same clients now for the last 2.5 years, and you build up that kind of a friendship with them that they know they can talk to you about anything. They know they can say anything to you. And for me, that's fantastic, knowing that they're not alone, that you're going into them on a daily basis, and they know they have somebody going into them that they can talk to, that, like, I go in, I'd be singing, I'd be dancing with them, I'd be bringing in my Alexa, and if they like any particular songs or movies, I'd play it for them. And it's just, I don't know, it's just a great satisfaction knowing that you've helped keep them out of the hospitals and out of the nursing homes, and that you're there helping them live independently as possible.
What's the kind of most common thread that runs between the stories of all the people you visit? What do they most want to talk about?
A lot of them reminisce about the past. So like a lot of them at the moment do not want to talk about anything related to the covert. They are just sick of it.
Yep.
Like we all are. I understand that. But a lot of them reminisce about the past. Like one of my clients has written a book.
Okay.
And one of my clients writes poetry. So like they reminisce about like their life. Like one man now, his life was on a farm and he'd reminisce about the farm days. And another client would reminisce about she has family abroad and how much she misses them. It doesn't matter what they want to speak about. I'm there to listen.
Mm.
Because like it's nice for them, because sometimes you're the only person writing that they might see from one end of the day to the other. Like they might see nobody, only you, the carer, going into them.
What music do they want to hear?
Well, one of my clients loves Que Sera, Sera, What Will Be, Will Be.
Yeah.
And he'd reminisce that. Most mornings he would sing that to me. And we'd be inside in the kitchen and together we'd be singing out loud Que Sera. We'd be singing it out loud together.
Well, that could be an anthem for our times.
Well, that's true. Very true. Very true.
And when you go home after a day visiting clients and people around the place,
yeah.
You go home to your own family.
Yeah.
Who do you think about in terms of who you visited? What do you think about your day as you reflect? If you've time?
And it's very hard to come home, Ryan, and to switch off.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You'll be thinking, are your clients okay? Like, if you're not there, like I always let them know that I'm on the end of the phone if they ever need anything. Don't be afraid to call me. Like most of my clients live near me. So I would always say, if you want anything or need anything, you know where I am. Pick up the phone. Don't hesitate to call me. And if I can assist you in any way, I will assist you. So it's very hard to switch off when you come back. But I suppose, Ryan, you have to switch off when you have kids.
Yeah.
Like my youngest kid is 17 months.
Oh, right. Okay. Baby.
So he's a baby. And my eldest is 8 and I have a girl of 5.
Oh,
so my kids are quite young.
What sort of sense of satisfaction, and I'm talking about your soul now, Sabrina, how do you feel in your soul at the end of a long day visiting clients compared to a long day working in retail?
I suppose in being a carer, you feel more, it's hard to put into words, but you feel that you've done a great job. You feel satisfied. You have a great job satisfaction. That you know that you've helped somebody, that you've assisted them, you have whatever they need done, that you have done for them. Whereas in retail, the hours are so long, it's the same thing every day, you come out of it and you're tired. In this job, you're not tired because you're doing a job that you love.
Yeah, you've got two sisters.
I do,
name?
Sharon and Tina.
Sharon and Tina, what do they do for a living?
So Tina works down in a place called Carrigley, and she works with people that are kind of mentally challenged.
She's a carer.
She's a carer.
And Sharon?
Sharon is, she's also a carer, but she's not qualified. So she works in the caring industry, but on a different level to us.
And has anyone in your family won the Carer of the Year award before you?
My mom.
So this is a gene.
It is.
This is a hereditary gene of kindness and caring. And tell me, your mum is?
So my mum's name is Anne Boyd.
And when did she win the award?
And she won the award only 8 years ago, back in 2012.
And how would you describe your mum to me as her daughter?
My mum is one in a million. And I'm not just saying that. She is the best mum and nanny and granny ever.
Why?
Because she does everything for everyone and never thinks of herself. She's not one bit selfish. Like, she won that award because when she retired, she still continued to go up to this lady, Sheila. And she went up to her voluntary. No pay, no nothing. My mum done it.
Well, let's say hello to your mum, will we?
We will.
Anne Boyd, good morning.
Good morning, Ryan. I won't be able to talk as good as my daughter now, Ryan. How are you?
I doubt that. What a pleasure to talk to you. And congratulations all these years later on your award win in 2012.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
How do you think it is, Anne, that your three daughters, Sharon and Tina and Sabrina, who we're talking to this morning, are all working in the same business? That is to say, caring for their fellow man and woman. How did that happen?
Yeah. I think it's kind of a history kind of a thing, Ryan. I might ramble on a bit now, so don't take any notes of me. I'm from Greignagh Manor originally, from Greignagh Manor, County Kilkenny. And what I saw growing up in my family, my mom, my dad died when he was 42 from TB. And there was five of us in the family, Ryan. And my God, going back a long time now, Ryan. Mm-hmm. And my mother had to do everything. There was no money. There was no nothing. Neighbours were good. I left school when I was 10 and I was cleaning houses.
So you had to fend for yourself from an early age, obviously.
Oh, God. And that oh God. Was... We all did, Ryan. My sisters and my brothers. We also had a sister, Bridget, who got TB as well. And she went up to Dublin and she was up there for 8 years and we never had the money to go up and see her.
Okay, the difficult times for you all
and
at that
my
stage.
My mother was the one that held us all together, Ryan.
And you met Pat...
I met Pat in London.
And what was Pat doing at the time?
He was a sailor.
He was a sailor? And what else did he do after that?
He was doing, he'd done building sites and stuff like that. He'd done every kind of a job, really, Ryan. He'd done every kind of job.
Sounds kind of useful to have around the place.
Well, I suppose.
Building, sailing ships, whatever
everything.
You need. Yeah, no, it's pretty great. But the reason, in some ways, you won the Carer of the Year award all these years ago, 8 years ago, was because of a lady called Sheila. And Sheila was, she was fragile, I think is the word that has been used to describe her at the time that you met her. And she didn't trust a lot of people, but she trusted you.
I tell you how I met Sheila, right? And our son and my husband done chimney sweep. And my son, Martin, used to go into Sheila, we say once a year, to clean the chimney. And he came home to me one day and he said, "Mam," he said, "there's a lady up the road," he said, "and I think," he said, "she could do with a bit of help." And Ryan, you just don't walk into somebody and say, "Look at sir, I'm going to do something for you," or something like that.
Yeah.
But I got onto the health nurses here in Mahon. And they said, yeah, she went up first. And Sheila wasn't the type of person like anybody near her. Now, I can't say why, because there's a lot of personal
things
going
on
in their life as well.
That's okay.
But yeah, we went everywhere together, Ryan. She got me out as well, Ryan, because I don't drink, like, and... the community here in Mahon were brilliant. You go out to the over 60s. We went everywhere together. We went to the doctors. We went to the supermarket. And when she wasn't able to go anywhere then, we'd bring her in the car. So she was never, she just had a very tough life. And like Sabrina would say, she grew up with our family. You see, she came to all the family birthday parties, wedding wake, you name it, funerals, everything. And she came down to all our, when the children got older, she came down to all the Christmas dinners. Sheila was always at the table. But the trust, the thing, as Sabrina was saying, is to build up trust is the most important thing, Ryan, with anyone.
It's amazing, though, to hear you say that, you know, a Christmas table. Obviously it's going to be a very different Christmas table, I think, maybe this year. But parking that for a moment, it's such an important thing. And I saw my own mother doing it before. She used to have a lovely expression, just throw another couple of potatoes in the pot. In other words, it's a very Christian thing to do, without being overly religious. It's a very kind thing to do.
Well, you know, if somebody's living on their own, Ryan, and you know they're living on their own. Now, no, some people may say, "No, look, I don't want to go down." And that's fine. That's fine. And Sheila used to say to me, "Look, I don't want to be interfering with your family." But my family were quite young at the time. And if Sheila wasn't there, it wouldn't be the same. And for the 10 or 20 years I was looking after her, she was everything, every wake, every funeral, and every, as she would say, every wake, every funeral, we just brought her everywhere.
And what did she refer to you as?
Ma'am.
Ma'am. And and your husband?
Dad.
And how old was she in terms of what was the age gap between you and Sheila?
I'd say about 20 years, I'd say. She was actually 80 something when she died.
So she was older than you, but called you Ma'am and Dad.
Yeah. Oh, she called me. She came on. Even if we're out shopping or anything like that, she called us Ma'am and Dad. But she was a good person. She was a good person, but had a hard life.
I understand. And she passed away, sadly?
About 8 or 9 years ago. We have a headstone here over in Black Rock, that if ever we pop the bucket or something like that. And we always went for a walk, myself and Sheila, just round Mahon and Black Rock when she was able.
Yeah.
And we went over to this grave and I said, "We'll have to get the headstone, Sheila." So we'll go down and get it. She had a wheelchair this time. And there was a plot right across from our grave. And she said, "I'm going to buy that."
She knew straight away.
She says, "When I'm gone," she says, "and you and Dad are gone," she said, and your children and your grandchildren will come down to the grave and say, oh yeah, that's Sheila there. So she says, I'll always have visitors. That's sad, really, I know.
I think it's more happy than sad, because she knew that she wasn't going to disappear off the face of the earth without being thought about or remembered. So there's actually quite a lot of dignity in what she observed there. And does the gravestone have anything written on it of note?
Yes. It's just Sheila Ridecroft. And any morning I went into her house, and I went up to her 3 times a day, Ryan. I'm not bragging about it, it's just something for me to do as well. And it's just any news.
So the tombstone says, the gravestone says,
any news. That's it. Because she was very nosy, right? And if there was any commotion, she'd love somebody to have a fight outside the door now. And she'd stand out, she'd say, go on, give it the best you can, like, and I'd kill it away. But you see, I got to know so many people because of Sheila as well, Ryan. Like, because
I understand.
When you don't tend to socialise and you have a young family and stuff like that. But no, we go to the grave every day, myself and my husband.
Do you really? I mean,
every day. It
is the most Irish gravestone inscription I think I've ever heard. Any news?
Any news. I enjoyed myself. We went everywhere together. We'd done everything together. And she had a dog named Jacko. And the dog came with us as well.
All the gang.
All the gang.
Sabrina, can I ask you, just to bring you back in again as Anne's daughter, There are a lot of people listening this morning, and we're facing into a long day, and they're very concerned about the next 3, 4, 5 weeks and what have you. And the days are getting shorter, as you know, and Christmas is coming around the corner and so on and so forth. The pair of you and your whole family obviously have some gene in you that is deeply thoughtful and desperately kind. What do you say to people, particularly those of a certain age, and then those, regardless of what age they are, who are on their own, what can you say to them to maybe make them feel a little less frightened or lonely today?
That's a very tough question.
I understand.
Because with all the media that's going on about this virus at the moment, it's very hard to say, don't watch the news, don't watch this. But just to let them know that there's always people out there for them that they can ring if they ever need anything, if they wanted anything. There's always help in the community. Never feel alone. That's the major thing, Ryan, with this virus at the moment. People are alone. People are isolated. Just to let people know that they're never alone. They're never isolated. Whether, like my mom said there, it's ringing somebody in the community, whether it's the community guard, whether it's the public health nurse. I would advise people out there, please check on your neighbours. If you have elderly neighbours, if you have neighbours that you haven't seen in a couple of days, they don't have to be elderly, please just knock on the door and check, are you okay? Do you need anything? That's the main thing, is for people in the community out there to reach out to their neighbours who they haven't seen in a while or know that are vulnerable, that they will just go, please, and check on them and make sure that they're okay.
Wise words. You know, in some ways, I would urge people, don't wait on somebody to be kind. Be that kind person.
Kindness is nothing, Ryan. It costs nothing to be nice.
Sabrina and Anne, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you both. Congratulations on the awards you've won, but more importantly, for being the people that you are. Thank you for your time
this
morning.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Thank you
very much.
Talking
to you,
and
Ryan.
Take care of yourselves. Thank you so much, Ryan.
You too.
Thank you, Ryan.
Bye, Anne. Sabrina. That's the boys there. And a salutary lesson in life on a Monday morning in a world gone mad. The text number 51551.